This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Call for accountability. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, August 17th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Vatican is responding to a grand jury report in Pennsylvania that said hundreds of priests abused more than 1,000 children over the course of several decades.
After leaks about skyrocketing costs, President Trump's planned military parade has been delayed.
The Queen of Soul has been silenced. Legendary singer Aretha Franklin has died at the age of 76.
And the minimal political risk for President Trump's proposal for a sixth branch of the military known as a Space Force.
Clearly, the president is very interested in space. I mean, he reformed the National Space Council. He's very interested in NASA. And so this might reflect a real personal interest of the president. But I think he has to win over at least one constituent, well, several constituencies, starting with the Pentagon and then with Congress.
Andrew Clevenger from Roll Call explains the political slam dunk for the Space Force idea in about 10 minutes. The Vatican has expressed shame and sorrow about the allegations of abuse by more than 300 Catholic clergymen in Pennsylvania over 70 years that came out of a grand jury report released earlier this week. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke called for accountability for both abusers and those who permitted abuse to occur. Mr. Burke also said that the more than 1,000 victims should know that, quote, the Pope is on their side.
The abuses described in the report are criminal. They're morally reprehensible. These are acts which robbed the victims of their dignity, and in many cases also robbed them of their faith in Jesus Christ, in God.
While the majority of cases involve adolescent males, children as young as 7 were sexually abused. The Pennsylvania report sparked widespread outrage. Some focused on specific church leaders named in the report, such as Cardinal Donald Wuerl, Archbishop of Washington, D.C. The Pentagon and White House have announced a delay for a military parade requested by President Trump. One big reason may be the price tag. The latest estimates put the cost at more than $90 million. But there are also differences in how the administration and military officials thought the parade should look. The target date for the event had been November 10th, but Department of Defense and White House officials said last night they're now looking at next year. Earlier this year, the White House Budget Office estimated the parade would cost between $10 and $30 million. Prior to the announcement for the delay, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said he hadn't seen figures.
I have not seen an estimate of $92 million. The estimates are coming to me. I've given the initial guidance, but I have received no such estimate. I haven't received an estimate of $10 million or $92 million.
U.S. military parades usually only happen at the end of major wars. Aretha Franklin, the undisputed Queen of Soul, died yesterday in her Detroit home, surrounded by family and friends. She'd been battling various undisclosed illnesses for years and in recent weeks was receiving hospice care. Over the course of her nearly 7-decade career, she established herself as one of the most important artists in music history, winning 18 Grammy Awards, selling more than 75 million records worldwide, and becoming the first female performer to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Vaughn Franklin, a nephew, spoke of her as a mother.
When our parents passed away, my auntie became the matriarch of the family. She took the nieces and nephews, especially myself, under her wing. She took care of us.
He was on ABC News. Young motherhood, by the way, did not stop Ms. Franklin from launching her professional career at the age of 14. She already had 2 kids by then. In 2010, her commanding voice earned her the number one spot on Rolling Stone's list of the 100 greatest singers of all time. Aretha Franklin was 76. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Whether the Space Force becomes a reality or not, the Trump re-election campaign will likely face new consequences in 2020 for shooting for the stars. So says Andrew Clevenger, defense reporter at Roll Call. Andrew, what did you look at?
You know, when the big rollout came at the Pentagon last week, I wanted to see how much skin the Trump administration actually had in the game. I mean, is there any downside to making an announcement like this? And what my reporting bore out was, not really.
And it's, as you point out, perhaps the timing of it was indicative, right? August, lawmakers weren't present when Vice President Pence was speaking about it, right?
Right. The optics of it just didn't suggest that this is a proposal that they're going to risk a lot of political capital on. It doesn't suggest that it's something along the lines of, say, the border wall that the president might be willing to shut down the government over.
All right. So it's not a front and center radar thing for voters. But what is it then?
Well, it is to some degree red meat for his base. Space Force has turned into a big applause line on the stump. And clearly the president is very interested in space. I mean, he reformed the National Space Council. He's very interested in NASA. And so this might reflect a real personal interest of the president. But I think he has to win over at least one constituency, well, several constituencies, starting with the Pentagon and then with Congress.
He's put a deadline on this, hasn't he? For what exactly? Explain.
Well, he wants to stand up a separate branch of the military by 2020, and that's going to be administratively a big undertaking. I mean, there's a huge bureaucracy to create. You have to consider that the military already has many, many agencies that already deal with the military in space. What happens to those units? Are they automatically transferred into a new force? I mean, do you go from being a member of the Air Force to the Space Force automatically? Are those units disbanded? How does the integration happen? It's a big, big undertaking.
Yeah. But you point out it may not even matter if the deadline is not met, correct?
Yeah. I mean, 2020 is a long way off in terms of politics and voters' attention span. I don't think that Space Force is necessarily something that many people are thinking about when they head to the polls. And as we've seen, the pace of news in this administration is relentless. So there will undoubtedly be other topics to talk about that are in the forefront of voters' minds when they head to the polls in 2020.
Did we get any details about funding for this or where funding might come from?
You know, the vice president called on Congress to authorize $8 billion over 5 years, although it's not clear exactly what that's going to be for or what portion of the overall cost that reflects. The Pentagon, when it briefed reporters, also didn't come up with any, hard numbers in terms of overall cost. They are deferring until they submit their budget request in February of next year.
Okay. You said, too, the Trump campaign has jumped on the Space Force announcement to raise money for 2020. What's it saying?
Well, they blasted out an email with several logos and invited supporters to vote for which one they preferred. I mean, clearly this is something that the administration or at least the campaign is interested in and thinks can generate some buzz. And there's, certainly nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But picking a logo before you have picked a headquarters, might be putting the cart ahead of the horse a little bit.
Right. How much do you think we'll hear about this, say, before the midterms? Is this going to come up at all?
I don't think this is going to be a big topic for the midterms. Again, voters aren't really honed in on this as a, front of mind issue. Members in Congress, there are some who certainly support the idea, but there are many who are skeptical. The members of the House and Senate Armed Services Committee had a chance to look at this issue as they figured out the fiscal 2019 National Defense Authorization Act, and they deferred on creating a Space Force or even a Space Corps And what they decided to do was just create a unified space command. And obviously, this goes several steps further.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Clevenger, defense reporter at Roll Call. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the Defense Department, says the Veterans Day military parade ordered by President Trump won't happen in 2018. The announcement came several hours after the media reported the parade would cost about $92 million, more than three times the price first suggested by the White House. Defense Secretary James Mattis took issue with that number.
Whoever told you that is probably smoking something that's legal in my state, but not in most states, okay?
A Pentagon spokesman says the military and White House have now agreed to explore opportunities in 2019. A new Pentagon report is warning that China's military is likely training for strikes against the U.S. and allied targets in the Pacific. The annual report to Congress says China is increasing its ability to send bomber planes further afield. China has not commented on the report. Aretha Franklin never saw herself as a feminist heroine. That, she quipped, was Gloria Steinem's role. But she leaves a legacy of indelible anthems that resonated deeply with women by celebrating their strength and individuality. The Reverend Charles Williams of the King Solomon Baptist Church in Detroit says Franklin's roots in the city ran deep.
Particularly in Detroit, particularly in the African-American community, we have great appreciation for that love of, for that voice that never wavered and never left its roots.
Franklin died yesterday at the age of 76. New Mexico forensic investigators say a decomposed body found at a desert compound in New Mexico has been identified as a missing Georgia boy whose father was accused of kidnapping him and performing purification rituals on him. Authorities believe the boy died in February when he was three and buried in an underground tunnel. The father is among five people arrested on suspicion of child abuse at a compound near the Colorado state line, where authorities say 11 hungry children were found living in filth. There's a good chance that the CEO of your company made about 312 times more money than you did last year. According to research by the Economic Policy Institute, the average CEO at the 350 largest companies received $18.9 million in 2017, a nearly 18% increase from 2016. The wages of a typical worker rose 0.3%.
Yowza. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. Glad you're with us. The U.S. is running short of people who can tell the forest from the trees. Organizations like the National Park Service and Bureau of Land Management can't find enough scientists to deal with invasive plants, wildfire reforestation, and basic land management issues. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, what have you found?
Plant blindness is the theme of the day. The story takes a look at how Americans are having a hard time recognizing different plants in the gardens on the street, and how the sort of the science of botany is fading from the academy, and what the implications are for them.
Wow. So what are the implications? What are we hearing?
So the most important one probably is that there's a lot in the news around invasive species and climate change and habitats shifting and animals that are and plants that are going extinct. So land management issues are important, and the people who do them need to be able to identify a lot of different types of plants and where they're growing and how they're growing and what's keeping them from growing or not growing. But the folks with those skills are not coming out of colleges anymore, because they simply don't the jobs don't pay, and they're sort of out of style. So as we move more toward it's sort of happening on two fronts. Regular Joes like you and me who are removed from now probably a generation or two or three from the farm.
Yeah.
Don't know much about land and about botany, can't identify too many trees. And then in the academy, the type of botany that has become popular is molecular. So folks are studying plants at the molecular level, but they're not studying much in terms of morphology and typology. So even botanists can't always recognize, basic flowers and trees anymore. So there's a sort of loss of an information that has been, part of human history and in human education for a long time.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. He's written an interesting piece entitled Rhododendron, Hydrangea, America Doesn't Know. You said that botanical gardens around the nation are starting to raise the alarm. How so? What are they doing?
So there's, people are realizing that their neighbors can't, you know, they have plant blindness. They don't know the difference between a hydrangea and a rhododendron, and these botanical gardens are sort of at the center of this. They realize what's going on, so they're just doing much more to help educate people and to sort of let folks know what's going on. So one of the things they did was they've got a couple of bills in this Congress and in the Senate to incentivize kids to go to college to study botany. They'll forgive their student loans if they do. And in part is just because the federal government needs folks who have these skills to manage land. I think a third of the country is federal land. So if it's not managed properly, that's a problem.
Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, August 17. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump's military parade is delayed. Legendary singer Aretha Franklin has died at 76. Beach hazard warnings remain in effect in Florida because of the harmful algae bloom. Free tuition for all current and future NYU medical students. Big day for the Dow, a 396-point rise yesterday. Rasmussen says Trump's approval rating among blacks has jumped from 19 to 36% over a year. And the Browns and Bills game tonight features two top 10 draft picks at quarterback. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. Watch for tenants at traditional shopping malls continue to diversify. More from tech analyst Rob Enderle about the massive shift taking place in the national retail landscape. Rob set this up.
Well, with the advent of Amazon, folks' buying behavior has changed a lot. It used to be that malls were anchored by large department stores, but you know, department stores are kind of going the way of the dodo bird, and the end result is those malls that were based around those department stores are also failing because it was those department stores that drew traffic. And so they're going through an evolution, and that evolution is to switch over to other ways to bring traffic into the mall, whether that be exercise, entertainment, food. People still do go out for food, though Uber Eats is trying to change that. And so the reality is we're seeing much more in the way of theme centers, smaller centers that have different kinds of anchors, and a move away from those mammoth structures that were based around a Sears or a Penny's.
Yeah. Sports or play-related facilities, as one person said, stuff you can't do online, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people still go to the gym. They still go to sports facilities and play games. Certainly there's a big upswing in terms of VR arcades. VR done well is still really too expensive to do in the home, and so the better VR arcades like the Disney effort have been starting to pick up and drawing people to those centers, places where you can go race go-karts and small vehicles and stuff like that also can be a draw. But what you want to do is build the shopping center around something that people will still go to participate in, and then while they're there, they will participate and go to the other stores and other facilities. But as I said, the department store anchor is pretty much gone because Amazon's taken them out one by one.
Yeah. We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group, and we're talking about the ever-changing mall landscape. What was the point somebody made in a story I was reading about sustainable community with regards to the changing malls?
Well, so with regard to sustainable community, if you get something in there that consistently calls people to go to the location, that's what you want. And so you've got a community of people that go and watch sports together, or where it's legal, gamble together, or play cards or bingo or whatever it is they do as a group. That tends to be very sustainable because it's a community aspect that keeps it going. It's very hard to displace that, because you start doing something at home, you lose the community. And often people do that stuff as much to do it with other people as they do to do the sport. So a group of people get together and race go-karts on a regular basis. It doesn't matter if you could have a game at home or not. You're doing it because you got your buddies there, and you're drinking beer, maybe grab dinner afterwards. That's something that you just kind of keep doing as long as you can do it unless you move. So it's much more sustainable. It's much harder for an Amazon to disrupt that, because you're doing it as a group and you don't want to abandon the group.
Yeah. Are mall operators and owners losing their leverage here in this current marketplace? Are they forced to take maybe stores or other facilities that they might not ordinarily take with a lower profit margin, perhaps?
Well, I actually think it's the other way around. I used to run a shopping center myself, and been involved in that in earlier parts of my career. And it used to be that anchor stores kind of controlled the shopping center, and the management kind of had to do whatever the big anchors wanted you to do. I mean, they often got in at very low rates. They didn't really pay the freight, and they got that way because they carried the shopping center. With that falling off, the shopping center management now actually has more control over how they bring into it, depending on how they use that control. Of course, it can make or break a shopping center. But they actually have more control because the big anchors just don't have the leverage that they once had to control the result.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the technology advisory firm called the Enderle Group. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this is apparently where we are in 2018. A mom-and-pop restaurant in Maine has been forced to take to social media to defend themselves from harsh backlash they've received after changing the shape of their French fries from crinkle cut to straight cut. I know. According to Fox News, Leslie and Jim Parsons, owners of Bali's Famous Franks in Waterville, made a statement on their restaurant's Facebook page announcing that they have received comments from disturbing and hostile customers over the change of their French fry shape. Leslie, who took over the restaurant with her husband in 2017, said the business was forced to make the decision based on finances. Though the change was made in late June, the backlash over the new shape escalated over the past month. Leslie says that customers have sworn at them and threatened physical harm to her, her husband, and children. Jeez. Over the fry swap, with one man even threatening to fight Jim at the store over the issue. The Bangor, Maine Police Department even jumped into the fray, using the overreaction by residents as a teaching moment about civility and anger management. The department said that they're standing by in case Leslie and Jim need a cop to settle an argument, but in the meantime, they're going to eat the fries, no matter what shape they are.
What is that about?
People are going nuts. I'm guessing these fries are famous. I don't know of these fries. I'm guessing they're famous in the area, or were, until they got switched out.
Right.
See, this would never happen to me, because I usually swap out the fries. If there's onion rings available, I'll take those. Or even for a salad sometimes. If I'm trying to pretend to be healthy, I'll swap out the fries.
When you're pretending.
When I'm eating a giant burger, yeah, I'll just swap out the fries so that makes me feel a little bit better if I get a salad instead.
What about the publicity here, though? You know, it's often said there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now maybe more people are coming in just to sample the fries.
I guess so. But if they have to hide behind glass or something, or have to hide behind, in the back room because they're afraid of people punching them, maybe that's not worth it. I don't know.
I thought Maine was like a really chill state, where people relaxed.
Yeah.
Life was easier.
Yeah, low key. Don't mess with their fries.
Not over French fries. Well, you know what fixes all that, though?
Yeah.
Just a little Old Bay seasoning.
Right. Yeah, right.
It cures everything.
Doesn't matter what shape they are.
Right.
They're delicious. And turning to decidedly less appetizing restaurant fare, if plunking down $27 for for a tarantula taco. Sounds like your idea of fun this weekend. Not so fast. A Mexico City market restaurant recently put the arachnids on its menu and posted a video on Facebook showing a chef torturing one until blackened. That caught the eye of Mexican authorities, who say that the Mexican red rump tarantula is a protected species. Authorities seized four other tarantula corpses that were ready to be served up on tortillas and stopped the practice. If you're looking for less exotic bugs to chow down on, however, you're still in luck. The restaurant's menu features other creepy crawlies, such as grasshoppers, worms, and ant eggs, which have a long tradition in Mexican cuisine, and scorpions, which are less common. See, we said, I got you all hungry with the fry story,
yeah.
And now all of a sudden it doesn't feel like we're going to be eating breakfast anytime soon.
Tarantula tortilla.
See, we bring you up and then we bring you back down again.
Wow. I never, grasshoppers I've heard of, you have worms, but ant eggs? I never heard of ant eggs.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Do you sprinkle them or scoop them with a spoon and put them on something?
Here's what you do. You get a little Old Bay seasoning,
yeah.
And then they just
fry
go right
them.
Down.
Right in a fryer, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, fry them up, Old Bay. They'll taste just like the fries.
I'm on board. Very good. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. Before she was fired from the White House last December, as you know, former West Wing aide and reality television star Omarosa Manigault Newman secretly recorded conversations that she had with President Trump and his chief of staff, John Kelly. Now, she's been criticized by interviewers for the breach of protocol. What are the legalities here? MarketWatch says laws regarding recording conversations fall into two categories, one-party consent and two-party consent. One party means that only one person in the conversation needs to know that a recording is being made for it to be legal. That's the standard in 38 states, the District of Columbia, and at the federal level. For 11 states, two-party consent requires the person making the recording to get approval from everyone engaged. Even in one-party consent states, though, the law will not protect workers from being terminated, especially if you're an at-will employee. For instance, an employer could argue that the worker demonstrated a lack of respect for choosing to tape someone without permission. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's plans for a Veterans Day military parade through the streets of Washington have been delayed until at least 2019. Trump was impressed by France's Bastille Day parade on a visit last year and said the U.S. could top it. But figures reported by the media yesterday suggested the event could cost about $92 million, more than three times the original estimate, and the postponement was announced hours later. Defense Secretary James Mattis claims that number is inaccurate.
I'm not dignifying that number with any reply. I would discount that, and anybody who said that, I almost guarantee you one thing. They probably said, I need to stay anonymous, no kidding, because you'll look like an idiot. And number two, whoever wrote it needs to get better sources.
Critics had also made comparisons to parades in countries led by autocrats. From the Detroit church, where she honed her singing chops, to the legendary Apollo Theater, fans have been gathering to pay tribute to Aretha Franklin, who died yesterday of pancreatic cancer at the age of 76. People drove by the church in Detroit, where Franklin's father was a pastor and she learned to sing. Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan.
If you were just to listen and say, where is Aretha Franklin from? I think you would say Detroit, the grit, the spirit, the energy. It feels like Detroit to me, always has.
In New York, the marquee alternated between honoring Apollo legend Aretha Franklin 1942 to 2018 and Rest in Peace, Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul. The Vatican is expressing shame and sorrow over a scathing Pennsylvania grand jury report about clergy who raped and molested children in six dioceses in the state, calling the abuse criminally and morally reprehensible, and saying Pope Francis wants to eradicate this tragic horror. Here's something a little bit scary in our new AI world. Researchers say robots can significantly influence children's opinions. Researchers at England's University of Plymouth used a psychological test to compare how adults and children respond to an identical task when in the presence of their peers and robots. While adults' opinions are often influenced by peers, they are easily able to resist being persuaded by robots, but children between 7 and 9 were more likely to give the same responses as the robots, even when they were obviously incorrect.
Ooh. That's a little unsettling.
It sure is.
Oh, man.
Watch out. They're coming for us.
Right. However, children can trick like Alexa into ordering hundreds of dollars worth of Barbie stuff.
Right? Maybe they're smarter than we think.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Aretha Franklin's best quotes on life, love, and music. On being an influence, she once said, "It really is an honor. If I can be inspirational to a young singer or person, it means I've done my job." In Elle magazine 2 years ago, she said, "In terms of helping people understand and know each other a little better, music is universal, universal and transporting. Be your own artist," she said, "and always be confident in what you're doing. If you're not going to be confident, you might as well not be doing it." On body image, she jokingly told People back in 2007, "Who hasn't had a weight issue? If not the body, certainly the big head." Being the queen, she said, is not all about singing, and being a diva is not all about singing. It has much to do with your service to people, she says, and your social contributions to your community and your civic contributions as well. On perspective, she said, quote, "Sometimes what you're looking for is already there." And she told The Independent once that falling out of love is like losing weight. It's a lot easier putting it on than taking it off. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.